Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy, Brandon.
This is your boy, Sam.
Hey, man, we're back with another episode, and it's awesome, man. This is the first episode I've been on since we've reached, you know, 1,000 subscribers, man. So I just want to say thank y'all, man. Thank you to every single person who's listened, who's retweeted the show, who's followed the show, who's, you know, been a part, man, since the very beginning. Y'all day ones, man. We got to find whoever was there when we was on the what was that, SoundCloud, when we first started out, man, on the SoundCloud era. So we're going to have to find something, maybe, you know, if you was the first subscriber, I don't know who you are, we probably should have documented that at the point. But if you know you was there since day one, man, we rock, which we appreciate it. And now, you know, a couple years later, for us to have reached, you know, a goal that I can tell you when we first started, we wasn't even planning on. I could say we weren't planning on even getting there. It was kind of like, you know, let's just do it. Let's see what happens. And that's kind of really been the thought process about most of it. Let's just do it and see what happens, man. And then also, man, shout out to Chris who filled in last episode, man. It was a fun episode listening just from the other side of the audience, man. So, but yeah, man, I just want to say thank you, man. Thank you to every single subscriber, man, from day one, and the new listeners, man. Welcome. Sam.
Absolutely, man.
How you feeling, man? How you feeling, man? It's been a minute since we potted. It's been a minute since we talked, man. I ain't gonna lie. This baby has taken over my entire life. That's apparently what they do between that and work, man. It's been a struggle.
It's been a trip because I think I've been kind of dealing with like a little bit of a move. I finally moved everything I moved my podcast and stuff to my girl place because we kind of finna start cohabitating soon here. So
big steps.
So I've been kind of in the middle moving and trying to jig and jab, man. I think I got us two guests lined up. So I got two pretty good guests. I'm working on trying to get up to about 10 guests for the off season, you know, and this could be something that's surrounding Florida State football, but not so, you know, I told you, and I think I've told people in this podcast, like, I'm not going to create fake hype about things. That's no sense talking about, you know what I'm saying?
Ain't nothing happening. Listen, there's nothing happening in Florida State football outside of that schedule.
I'm not going to do a breaking. We got a schedule release. And let's see. I get why people have to do that because, you know, their monetization and their sponsors and everything they have to do. But I can't sit here and pretend to care about the schedule before the spring game. Like, after the spring game, I like to reevaluate the schedule. I mean, we're going to talk about the schedule, but I wasn't finna run to the podcast to have a whole schedule breakdown, you know what I'm saying?
So, and that's what's fun about being Sam, because I don't think I text Sam until like 3 days after the schedule came out, and there was a lot of hype, and I was like, hey, man, you want to do a part about the schedule? He was like, yeah, we'll do it this weekend, I think. You know what I mean? Like, neither one of us was like, oh, yeah, let's run and get this schedule out here, you know what I mean? Let's run ahead and talk about this thing. Neither one of us was like,
we'll get to it. I know we did talk about the Patrick Surtain hire with Chris from Sporadics or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So we did discuss that, and so I guess today we will dive into a little schedule talk. We'll dive into a little you know, college football landscape. I love talking about that. You know what's crazy? I typed up all this stuff in the private chat and it's all gone now, but whatever. Anyway, but yeah, so we're gonna get into all that, man. What you think about the NFL playoffs, man? The Jags kind of, like, we didn't talk since the Jags lost.
We haven't talked since the Jag lost. Listen, man, I took everything that happened this season as just gravy. You know what I mean? Like, from the moment we've picked first the last two seasons. You know what I mean? So if you tell me we're going to make the playoffs the following season, I'm taking it, hands down. Then you say, all right, we're going to win it against the Titans, which, again, we've lived in this city our entire life, so we've seen the Titans ruin a season. You know what I mean? And so that was definitely the game that I saw, man, we ain't going to win this game. You know, I can tell you going in, I wouldn't have picked the Jaguars to win the game. So then, you know, well, they win it in a great win. Then you get to the playoffs, and they're down 27-0. And I was like, it was a good run. You know what I mean? We ain't deserve to be here. We probably a year too early anyway. Let's just go. You know what I mean? It don't even matter. I kind of go out to the garage, take a little smoke break. I come back, and I'm like they fight a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I came back after they had scored, I think, made it 14-27. And so I was like, all right, they fighting a little bit. I'll stay tuned in. And so I stayed tuned in a little bit, and you know, they end up winning. So at that point, I don't care what happened. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't care way early into the season after everything happened, because at this point, I could already classify the season and say, this is a good team. This is a good season, just based on all the expectations. This is a good season. Yeah. Nobody expected them to win no Super Bowl, and I definitely did. So going out and losing to KC, man, I don't care. It didn't. When I tell you, it didn't. I didn't feel no different. I actually felt good about it. You know what I mean? Because I thought they played tough. I still think they're. I think they're a year or two away from the Super Bowl. They got some changes they got to make. We'll see what happened in the draft. But man, I loved it. I loved every minute of this season. I love to watch the maturity of Trevor Lawrence. That was the thing that was really impressive. Because it's funny. We said it with Jordan Travis. When quarterbacks find that confidence, man, and the game slow down for them, it's a fun game to watch. If they're a good quarterback, it's fun to watch because then they start having fun and they can start making some different decisions and making better decisions. And I thought with Trevor, man, it was just a year of confidence. Oh, man, absolutely. I can do this. I can play this game. Yeah, I can play this game. Yeah. And to watch him just kind of mature into the quarterback he was his back half, man, was just something fun to watch. So, now I'm happy for the Jags. I mean, they added in Calvin Ridley next season to already receiving quarter that I like a lot. You know what I mean? So, you add in Calvin Ridley. Some people talk about D-Hop maybe coming on board. Man, give me all the tools. You know what I mean? Give everybody you want. Let's get it. So, yeah, give me everybody. Yeah. I don't care who. Yeah, the more options, the better. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited about the Jaguars.
Yeah, I feel good about it. You know, it's crazy. Because people kept saying, you know, I felt like they had to overspend last year when it came to free agency to get players in here. And they did overspend. And, you know, now they're up against it with the cap a little bit. And I'm not too upset about that because you had to do what you had to do. It'd have been disappointing to me had you not made the playoffs after spending all that money. But you did make the playoffs and you won a game.
Yeah, you won a playoff.
So that and you won a playoff game. So to me, the money was justified in my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I feel really good about what the Jags are going at. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have to find a way to – people, it's weird. Like, for some apparent reason, all the Jaguar fans want to ship off offensive linemen. Like, oh, let's get rid of this offensive lineman. Let's re-sign this tight end. I'm like, dude, tight ends are not more important than offensive linemen in the NFL. Mm-mm. You know? It's just not. We got to stop this.
No. You need to keep them. If they are competent offensive linemen, you want to keep them around. The turnstiles. If you got a turnstile out there, then you got it. Yeah, he got to go. But I don't feel like none of those guys were turnstiles. I feel like they held their own.
No, they wasn't. They was a much better O-line. So if anything, you want to upgrade, you want to add to what you already got on the offensive line at the guard position. So hopefully they do that right now, man. But, you know, it's going to be good because, you know, now we got a legitimate certified, in my opinion, top five quarterback with probably a top five coach. So if they can draft well, and they had two pretty good last two drafts, so they got to put a third great draft together. They can put a third great draft together. I think you probably have something a little special brewing. You got to do what Kansas City have done. Kansas City let guys go and drafted so well. I mean, I think they said they drafted seven guys and six of them, or five of them are starters and three of them are rotational guys. So Jazz got to hit right that in the offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you have to draft once you start paying that quarterback, because it's coming.
It's definitely coming.
$50 million a year coming.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's gonna eat up. That's gonna eat up your cap. You're gonna have to have that money for him. Here's what I didn't really respect NFL coaching. I didn't respect really a lot of coaching, and because I always thought, you know, your players would take you there. Doug Marone made me believe in coaches this season. Because, I mean, Urban Meyer was real. Doug Peterson. Because Urban Meyer was real bad, man. I mean, I didn't realize how bad Urban Meyer was until seeing it against Doug Peterson. You know what I'm saying? Like, understanding, like, oh, there's big levels in this coaching rank. Some of these guys really freestyling it. Don't have no idea what they're doing. And it was clear. But watching Doug Peterson this year move and work, I was like, just to figure out the way he was able to galvanize a locker room that was pretty much fractured, you know what I mean, from the year before, not really knowing what to expect with, you know, a coach kicking players and stuff like that. Like, it was a bad, toxic environment over there. For him to get those guys to believe and then somehow win, it made me respect coaching. I ain't going to lie.
I never really gave a lot.
I said it was some really good coaches, and everybody else was just kind of in the middle. But no, it's, you know, Doug is a part of that elite group, in my opinion.
You know, I don't, you know, it's crazy. I don't know if he, well, see, it's hard to it's hard to get into the specifics of how great a coach is unless you got you need like a bigger sample set, right? You can't just do it in 1 year and be a great coach. You can't have a one bad year and be a terrible coach. So you need, you know, you kind of need it. You need a bigger sample set. So we'll see where he at in 3 years. But, you know, he has won a Super Bowl, so he's proven that he can do that. So
very true.
Let's get into the schedule. If I got it right here. So what was your initial thoughts of FSU schedule?
What's funny was my initial thought. So I've taken a little bit of a social media ban, right? Like I wasn't even on Twitter until, you know, he sent the message like, yo, let's do the pod or whatever. I hadn't been on social media in a good little minute. But I was on social media that day. I was on Twitter, just Twitter that day to, you know, I wanted to see the reaction to the schedule. And I found it fascinating because I looked at the schedule and I said, well, we're going undefeated. Like, that's literally how I looked at the schedule. I was like, well, we're going undefeated and good. Let's see what the playoffs look like. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it and everybody was like, I got us like 10-2. And I was like, wait, I'm confused. And then it kind of reminded me of last year. Last year, everybody talked about how great Johnny Wilson was, how much improved Jordan Travis was, how Benson was this, and all these pieces, and how great, you know, Ezra Thomas was going to be. And I listened to them talk about it, and then they were like, yeah, I got us going 6-6. Right. And I was like, wait, that don't make sense. I listened to y'all tell me how great everything was and how improved everything was, and yet the schedule, what y'all are saying the schedule is, I don't see that matching. And so I looked at this the same way. I looked at the schedule and said, based on what Florida State's goal is, Florida State's goal is to win the championship. I think we've heard enough from inside the program, enough from exit, you know, from Jordan Travis and other players. There was an article on, I forgot, one of their new editions or whatever it is, where he said, no, their goal is to win a championship. I want to be a part of a championship team. So I'm looking at this schedule, and I don't see anybody on here who we shouldn't beat or who we can't beat. So my overall impression of this schedule was, go get the job done.
Yeah, I think you look at the schedule, my initial thoughts was, to me, if you think you're an elite team or a playoff team, this is pretty manageable, pretty easy schedule, in my opinion. I mean, I think your toughest stretch is what? Wake Forest, Pitt, Miami. I mean, that's be pretty manageable. Stretch. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty manageable, right? I mean,
right. But again, you got a Sam Hartman-less Wake Forest team.
Yeah. I mean, Pitt's going to be tough on defense because they always tough on defense. Yeah. And you got Miami. You said what?
You never know when Miami going to be.
Well, yeah, true. But I'm just saying, like, you just look at that little small stretch right there. That's probably your toughest stretch. I mean, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Duke shouldn't scare you. Southern Miss, Boston College, Clemson scare you. You know?
Nope.
LSU, Southern Miss, Boston College. None of that. I mean, none of that is very daunting to me.
No, again, I'm saying we're getting Clemson in September. Like, yeah, that's a good thing. You know what I mean? They're gonna be bringing in a new quarterback, right? It's gonna take some adjustment, and so
So let's talk about that because I keep hearing people say that, and I don't think that's true. Like, that Lincoln Riley system is pretty easy to install. Like, that system is, I mean, that system is put in, installed, and it's pretty much operating at peak levels by week one. I mean,
but we don't know. We also don't know who this quarterback is, though. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm not overly high.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Is he Trevor Lawrence?
He don't have to be that, though, but we know he's a good football player. I mean, we watched him beat up on North Carolina, right? I mean, he did. He beat up on North Carolina.
Everybody beat up on North Carolina, though.
Okay, but I'm saying, though, he has experience. He beat up on North Carolina. He did play in the Tennessee game. You know, they got beat up a little bit, roughed up a little bit in the Tennessee game. But, I mean, he wasn't terrible in that game. I mean, they played bad as a team.
He wasn't great either, though.
Right, he wasn't. But I'm saying he was but he also was a true freshman. So, he's a good player. He's a good player. I mean, just being honest, like, he's a good player, you know?
I think I think he's a good player. I'm just not sure he's
– And then we've seen him come in in spot duty and take the team down the field when they had to score points in crucial situations last year when they took DJ out the game. You know, so this idea that we don't – I mean, people acting like they're starting some true freshman. I mean, he has experience playing football. And then we thought the offense last year was terrible, and they brought in an elite offensive coordinator who we think is pretty – he is pretty good, right? He installed that system at TCU first year. They go to the college football playoffs. They score points. That was 1 year. They did that in 1 year. So it's not crazy that they're going to come in. Am I lying? Does that sound crazy?
I disagree. I think that offensive coordinator is okay. I don't believe it. I do Clemson, see what he did Clemson, at TCU, but I also think they're playing different football over there at TCU.
Hold on for a sec. Well, the Big 12 was better than the ACC last year.
They were.
It's clearly better than the ACC. I mean, it's 100% better than ACC. The ACC was terrible last year. Their first, Clemson's first game before they played Florida State, they played Duke, Towson Southern, and FAU.
Three warm-ups.
I mean, they're probably going to be operating at pretty much peak efficiency. I mean, you're going to get a good Clemson team.
But here's the other thing. They will not have had a legit test until they played us.
Okay, that's fine, but If you took Oscars and flipped it around, we would say, oh, yeah, we don't play number cupcakes before we play with Clemson. We can prep. I mean, they got at least 2 weeks. They got to prep for Duke. Duke's not a great team, but Duke could beat you if you're not operating where you need to operate.
Yep.
But Charleston, mm-hmm. FAU, I mean, they should score. They're going to beat those teams like a drum. So once you get past those two, then you play Florida State. I mean, I'm not saying Clemson's going to beat Florida State. I'm just saying this idea that, oh, we got him in a perfect spot. I mean, when you're playing a good team, you don't get a good team in a perfect spot. You're playing a good football team. You got to beat them, right?
So now that's what I do. And I think,
I mean, if you play Alabama, if you had to play Alabama or Georgia, does it matter what spot you're playing in? Do you think they give a damn? Like, okay, man, lined up. You can line up next week or you line up in a month. It don't matter to us. You know what I'm saying? So I think the Clemson game is interesting because they put it early, which I like, because if you play them late, it puts pressure on the whatever team loses to not lose again, right, in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that makes it – I think that makes it kind of fascinating, to be honest with you. I do like that idea.
Yeah, and I agree with that. So from a schedule standpoint, I think – but here's the thing, right? The Clemson LSU – pairing like in September does put a lot of pressure because you can't lose both of them, right? Like, and that's where I think from a pressure standpoint for Florida State, they have to make sure you go out there and take care of business. Ideally, yeah. I think they should win both of them. I think they're better than LSU. I think LSU has lost a lot. I think they should win the game. I also think they're better than Clemson, so they should. In my opinion, they should beat both of them. But if you lose the LSU, then Clemson becomes a must-win if you still want to have the championship on there, because the committee will look at it and say, "All right, we can deal with a first game loss to LSU or whatever. A two-loss Florida State team is not getting into the playoffs." And again,
if you're a two-loss Florida State team and then you beat Clemson in the ACC championship game, they're gonna forgive that other loss. I mean, still FSU, and they'll take you over TCU. They'll take you over
100%.
Oklahoma State, if they got one loss, I mean, they would.
And they're going to come in with all the offseason hype as well and possibly a potential Heisman quarterback. Yeah.
Right. And we've been known to beat down on really bad teams, and there's a lot of really bad teams on that schedule. I mean, Florida State.
Oh, no, it's going it's going to be some hangman play on the sideline for some of them games.
Yeah, I mean, because – Yeah, I mean, it's just,
like I mean, yeah, it's good, gonna, yeah, it's a bad group. Yeah, it's some dudes that it's some teams
you got Boston College who's gonna be bringing in a new quarterback.
That's a hangman game,
pretty much a new offensive line. Southern Miss, you're gonna beat the brakes out of Southern Miss, Boston College. Mm-hmm. And you got Virginia Tech who's gonna be terrible.
That's another hangman game. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Syracuse is pretty much gonna be terrible. I mean, they lost their offensive coordinator. I mean,
Babies gets fired this season.
Wake Forest.
No Sam Hartman.
You got North Alabama. I mean, you're going to have like six blowouts. Five or six blowouts on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, then we can all do that whole thing. We're like, oh, man, we can play with anybody in the country. See? Look, You know, we did the whole thing we did last year.
But we can play. Here's the thing. But I don't disagree.
No, I'm not saying we can't. No, I'm not saying we can't. Just
say when they say we can play with anybody in the country. I agree with that. Like if they can play with LSU and they can play with Clemson and they beat both of them. They can
play with them.
You can play with anybody in the country. Can they beat anybody in the country? Yeah. That's a whole nother story. But they can play with anybody in the country. And in my opinion, that's not necessarily the worst thing that I've heard people say. I think they can play with anybody.
No, I'm just saying, though, it's gonna be enough. It's enough easy food on that table that, I mean, you can look really good in the playoff committee eyes by beating down on some of these teams. And then if you do lose a Clemson early, that by the time you play them again in an ACC championship and you win that game, you'll have a legit argument to be the number four
That's if Clemson make it. Because, again, exactly. I don't know how good this Clemson team is. You know what I mean? I'm not sure that Florida State will be if Florida State is to win that game. I'm not sure Florida State will be the only loss. Like, again, I'm not denying that Clemson is Clemson. Clemson has done enough to where, even though I don't like them, they've done enough to prove to me that they're a good team, right? But
yeah.
I'm just not – they've lost. They lost a lot. I said they were going to lose.
I think
take a step back with the coordinators that were gone. They replaced one of them. We'll see what happens on the other side.
Yeah, I mean LSU's. If you really want to put money to the savings account, I mean you got to beat LSU. That puts money to the savings account, right? That gives
100%.
You the opportunity to slip up once or twice, right? Because if you got the LSU win, that's going to give you what you need.
It depends on who that second LSU. You can't slip up twice, in my opinion. Not with this schedule, because who will be the second slip up? Like if you beat LSU, like right? Said, let's say you lose to Clemson, who is that second slip up?
Unless
Miami is having like that season, or Florida's having, you know what I mean? Which I don't see them having a great season. Their quarterback is going to be god awful. So I'm saying who would be the acceptable slip up?
Like I said, Pitt could give you. I'm saying, like, that's the only team I can look at. But think about it. You pay Pitt got Phil Jakovic as the quarterback. And I think Phil Jakovic is a good quarterback, but Phil Jakovic gets hurt. So if you play Pitt in week, let's say you replaced it Pitt in week three instead of Boston College, you played Pitt there. That would be a more daunting test to me because then, you know, with Phil, if he healthy early, that'd be a better game to me, right? But because you play him so late, he'll probably be out for the game. Knowing Phil, he's always hurt, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm just saying? So
No, you're right.
To me, they got – it's a pretty favorable schedule, you know. Nobody should be complaining about the schedule. I think LSU's going to be tough, but – and I do think LSU's going to be really tough because LSU offensive line – was light years better by the end of the season than it was that first game. They was a disaster that first game, right? So this game, now they settled in on what they want to do with offensive line wise. Neighbors is a really good wide receiver. Harold Perkins he's probably gonna be like a top 10 pick when he does get drafted. Harold Perkins is a beast, right? So it's a chance you're going to have a really difficult time blocking him, right? And, you know, Mason will be healthy, you know, so, you know, he's going to want to get his get back. So, I mean, LSU's going to be tough. I think you could beat LSU because I think you've done things to solidify your offensive line and defensive lines that should allow you to hold up, right?
And that's win that exactly game, what I was going to say. Know? Yeah.
But I do think, you know, because LSU's bringing in the number one transfer class to go along with a top five recruiting class again. So they solidify. I mean, they've done a hell of a job, in my opinion, turning that roster into a roster that's going to compete for national championships, you know, this year and next year, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So they're going to be tough.
And I agree.
LSU's going to be tough.
Where I give Florida State the advantage is offense, right? I still, as good as Daniels played at the end of the last season, he's still limited as a quarterback.
I don't think Daniels is going to be the quarterback come that first game, to be honest with you.
Daniels came back to not be the quarterback next season?
I just don't think he's going to be the quarterback because, I mean, when he went out that game against Georgia and they put the other guy in the game, the way they were throwing the football in that game with him in there against Georgia, they put up a lot of points. Well, they didn't put up a lot of points. They got up and down the field a lot in that game with the other quarterback. My opinion.
I would be wildly surprised.
I think they're gonna have two quarterbacks. I think they're gonna be brought at both of those quarterbacks. I mean, Daniels, where was he going at? I mean, Daniels is not an NFL quarterback.
He could have transferred. If he knew that he wasn't gonna be the starter next year, Daniels absolutely would have transferred because he wanna play. Like that was the reason why he transferred to LSU. I can't argue with what you're saying about the quarter. I'm just saying I think if Daniels felt like they weren't 100% behind him, I think Daniels would have left. That's my opinion. I'm looking at this and I'm saying Florida State should win that game because Jaden Daniels, I think, is still limited. If I have to go quarterback for quarterback, I believe Jordan Travis will make more plays than Jaden Daniels. That's really what it boils down to. And Florida State has a ton of playmakers. An abundance of talent on offense. I never thought I'd see the day, or at least wouldn't have thought I said that going into last season. But Florida State has a abundance of talent. There is zero drop-off even when you get to some of the younger guys. Like, they're going to be able to cycle in a bunch of receivers, and they got a quarterback who's 30 years old, who will make all the plays that you need, you know what I mean, who knows this system, who Mike Norvell trusts, who is saying all the right things in the offseason and doing all the right things in the offseason. You have a legit leader in that locker room.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to look at that and say they're going to be able to outscore Florida. That's the reason why I say I got Florida State going undefeated. I can't see who can stop Florida State on offense. Even defensively, I never believe in Adam Fuller. But even if defensively we say, let's see what happens on the back end. I still think there's some problems on the back end, which we hope Surtain will fix. But even if it gives them some adjustment time, right, to figuring that part out, offensively, man, how in the world do you stop Benson, Toa Philly, Travis, and all those receivers?
Yeah.
If you got any time, they should be averaging, in my opinion, high 30s a game.
Yeah, because on this, Garrett Nussmeier was the other quarterback. Against Georgia, he went 15 for 27, 294 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Against Purdue, he went 11 of 15, 173 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. So his last two games was pretty good. Right.
I actually prefer Nussmeier. I ain't gonna lie to you. Quarterbacks who are really mobile kind of mess. I feel like they mess with Florida State a whole lot more because our edge rushers don't really be disciplined like that. I prefer Nussmeier, honestly. I find it difficult to believe that Jaden Daniels decided he was gonna sign up to come back to be anybody's backup.
Absolutely. But so I just think the LSU game is an important game, but the LSU game doesn't kill you. I know me and Brian was arguing about it the other day ago, and he was talking about it. He was like, you got to win that. I'm like, man, I don't really – because I think the thing the committee has done more times than not, in my opinion, has sided with brands. And I think this year they decided not to side with a brand, right? They decided to just go ahead and put TCU in. Kind of bit him in the ass for that championship game, right? I mean, that game was over pretty damn fast. I guarantee you they wish they would have put Alabama in there. I guarantee they were like, damn, you know what?
They definitely put Alabama in here,
and just dealt with the backlash. But you knew Alabama would have probably beat Michigan, right?
Right.
And then you'd have had Alabama, Georgia.
They didn't want to see that again.
Everybody would have watched that for that would have been something to watch for 4 quarters, right?
Correct. Alabama wasn't getting boat raced by 60. Wasn't letting 60 get hung, get put on the head.
Yeah,
of the championship game. Alabama getting 60 put on them in the national championship.
So I think it's a huge
TCU
possibility.
TCU may never get back there again, for the record. TCU has blown their whole opportunity to ever get back there.
Well, it's gonna be 12 teams.
I don't care what type of team TCU getting. It's gonna be like
get into that because I mean it's gonna be a 12 team playoff, right? Coming up soon. So they could see themselves back into the playoffs, right? So I guess my next question, since we got into the kiss schedule thing, you think they can go 12-0? You know, I think 11-1.
I think 11-1.
Where that loss comes at, in my opinion, matters. Because I think even if you could just beat LSU, beat Clemson early, lose to Clemson in the ACC championship game, I think you still have a chance to get into the playoffs. Because you're going to boat race some teams.
Florida State in the ACC championship game still gets in because they will be ranked 1, 2, a three.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Two. Yeah,
they look
like
at their body of work and the preseason hype and the team. And again, if they're 11-1, Jordan Travis is more than likely in some Heisman conversations. I think they will look at all of that and say, we still going to put Florida State.
Right. So I think that's a chance.
11-1, yeah. Florida State gets here, 100%.
So coming off of that, man, you know, then college football is going to a 12-team playoffs next year, man. What do you think that means for Florida State, like, in the future?
They should be in it every year. There's never a reason why Florida State should not be one of the top 12 teams. With what Mike Norvell is building and has built, there's at this point, making the playoffs is the given. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if Mike continues to, we've seen it. It's another hot early class, right? So we look at this 24 recruiting class. What are they? Top five right now. He has to figure out how to finish that class. Finish with the top five recruiting class. I haven't seen him do it. I ain't gonna believe he can. But if he can somehow figure out a way for them to go 11-1, he finishes with the top five recruiting class. At this point, yeah, you got to go do it. You know what I mean? Like every single season going forward, I'm going to expect top five to top 10 recruiting class and them to make the playoffs. 12 teams, there's zero reason why Florida State shouldn't be one of them.
Zero. Let me ask you this question. Do you think he can recruit good enough to win a national championship?
No, but this is where I've really gone back and forth. The way it's been, you had to have a top 5 to 10 recruiting class in order to win a national championship. But this portal thing, man, is really different. And I don't think anybody fully understands. Look at what Florida State has done this past offseason. They had a good season last year and then went out there and grabbed DBs that they needed from good DBs. I ain't talking like, you know what I mean? Guys who were rated really highly at other schools are now choosing Florida State. That's a five-star talent, even if it's not necessarily a five-star talent. And even if he wasn't a five-star talent coming out of high school, he is now a legit starter who's going to plug in and have immediate impact. At least so we think, right? We've seen it. So now we look at the portal and we say, I can fill my holes. If I got a top 12, top 15 recruiting class, so I know I'm missing at linebacker or I'm missing a D tackle. If I'm good enough in the portal and I decide to embrace that portal, I can find me a D tackle. I can go. Right. Again, there ain't no rules. And especially now, I can call whoever school and say, hey, dude, because they know, you know, it's a lot of tampering going on because we keep telling the South Carolina players. So clearly somebody is a connection to the players over there in South Carolina. So I believe you can call any school's defensive tackle and say, hey, man, we're missing a piece. And, you know, we're going to be in the playoffs next year. If you at Mississippi State, y'all ain't playing no championship. You at Ole Miss, you at Arkansas, you know what I mean? Some of these fringe programs or whatever. You can look at the transfer portal and I can feel my hole at defensive tackle. I can feel my hole at DB. I can feel my hole at offensive line. I can feel a running back need if I'm short of running back.
But let me ask you this question though.
We never had that possibility. Let me ask you this question.
Okay, I get that you could put a starter there, but can you get a difference maker? I'm trying to put this in the right verbiage for everybody. I'm saying you can get a starter. I mean, as much as everybody, you know, I'm going to bring up a stat real quick.
Was Jermaine Johnson not a difference maker?
Yeah, Jermaine Johnson was a difference maker, right? Great player, right?
And
he's a first round draft pick.
Trey Benson is a difference maker.
Yes.
Those are transfers.
Well, you're going to always be able to get, I mean, running backs, yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Johnny Wilson is a difference maker.
Those
are guys who Mike brought in who absolutely are difference makers. I can't say that you can't find a difference.
But my point is, I think they are difference makers, right? I think they was difference makers on our football team. On our football team, they was difference makers, right? I'm just gonna bring up something, okay? I don't want anybody getting mad at me, all right? Jaheim Bell. I think Jaheim Bell fits Mike Norvell's system, right? I think Jaheim Bell is going to be really good in this system, right? Right? Mm-hmm. But Jaheim Bell at South Carolina last year had 25 catches for 231 yards, right? He had two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Jaheim Bell ran for, he had 73 carries, 261 yards, three touchdowns. Jaheim Bell had five touchdowns last year at South Carolina, right?
Mm-hmm.
I knew Jaheim Bell was leaving South Carolina because the offense didn't fit him, right? You know, they want a more traditional tight end, right? That's what they wanted. That's what they want, right? They saw him more as just a gadget guy, right?
Which, and who was their quarterback?
Right. Well, hold on. Because Spencer had a good year last year. Spencer threw for 3,000 yards. Spencer had 18 touchdowns. Spencer also beat Clemson. And he beat Tennessee. Okay.
Yeah.
We got to be fair. We got to be fair here when we have these conversations. I mean, let's not. I don't
necessarily hate on Spencer the way other folks do, but I don't, also don't think Spencer is a.
I don't think he's. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's great, but I'm saying he did do something that our guy didn't do. That's all I'm saying.
We got to be fair.
So 100%. We got to be fair. So anyway, Jaheim Bell. I think Jaheim Bell is a good player. I think Jaheim Bell in this offense is going to be a difference maker, right? But now I'm talking about on a landscape of can you beat not just a quality team, but can you beat a great team, right? Can you line up? Can you beat a Tennessee? Can you beat a Alabama? Can you beat a LSU? You know, can you beat the U.S. with these guys, the guys you don't brought in? I think that's more of a question that I have because I don't think those type of guys, in my opinion, end up in the portal. I think those type of guys kind of go to teams that traditionally has been winning national championships. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna disagree.
Because I think Johnny Wilson's a good wide receiver.
What you said, though.
Let me say this. I think Johnny Wilson is a good wide receiver. I think Johnny Wilson's a good wide receiver in the ACC. Mm. I think he's a quality wide receiver in the ACC. I don't think a team like a LSU, and I think even with Clemson, we saw a little bit of this. I don't think he scared them. I think, and even Oklahoma showed a little bit of this too. They just kind of manned up a little bit. Just like
Oklahoma, though.
Well, I'm just saying, like, they looked at the film and decided, we just man up, you know? So I guess my whole point is the guy that we brought in, they're going to have to take some major steps, right? They're going to have to take some steps of, consistently beating guys and winning their individual matchups. And they got to do that against some great teams. If we want to win a national championship, I think Clemson and LSU, we get to find out early. In my opinion, we get to find out week one and then week three. So I'm excited about that point. You know what I'm saying? But I just kind of look at it and be like, okay, I know you're better than all these trash teams in the ACC, right? I know Jared Verse is going to have 7 sacks against Syracuse and 6 sacks against Duke, right? I know he's going to be great against these teams, right? I'm not denying that.
100%.
Are you going to get blocked by what Clemson got? Are you going to get blocked by what LSU has? Because that's now my new question.
See, that's why he's back, though, right? And I think this is where we got to say our guys are supposed to be improving. The reason why Jared Verse came back was because he got blocked by Florida. I said that was bad tape by Jared Verse. Like, he got blocked, and he got blocked consistently against Oklahoma too, in my opinion. I think you looked at both of those tapes. Yeah, he made a play when he needed to, but for the most part, he didn't make enough of them. He did not, like you said, he wasn't a difference maker against those teams. But he's back now. He'll be stronger. Theoretically, he should be bigger and he should be faster. So, and he should be working on his technique. So, if Jared Verse says, I'm going to put in this work this offseason because this is my money year, and we know it's Fabo's money year, because he was same way, right?
I mean, Faye Bowles been in college for 6 years. I mean,
that's my but that's my point. But
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying Faye Bowles bad. But I'm saying, you know,
I'm just saying,
good player. You know,
they should be good difference makers on this line against good teams. That was the reason why they came back, in my opinion.
Right.
So if they've come back, they've bet on themselves. I'm assuming they've put in the work, they put in the effort, and therefore they're going. They've talked it. We've heard them talk.
Right.
You know what I mean? Jared versus Embo Fable have basically said, Fable came out basically was like, if I wasn't out for those games against Wake Forest or whatever it is, we would have won them games. I disagree with that. But I like the fact that he believed it. You know what I mean? Like, I like the fact that he believes it. So then, good. Mm-hmm. Let's go put in the work. Don't miss no games. Stay healthy if you can. Or let's hope the injury, you know what I mean? The injury luck works in our favor. And they'll be better, so they will be difference makers. I do believe that Jared Verse should be. I ain't going to say will, but I think he should be a difference maker against the top teams. We'll see.
Yeah.
If he comes out against LSU, his 2.5 sacks, 3 sacks, and it's completely unblockable and disruptive, it changed the whole season, right?
Right.
The whole season, because now at this point, you have an unblockable guy on your defensive end. You got a sure top 10 pick. You got a sure maybe top 5 pick, and he's going to be unguardable. He's going to be unblockable all season. Well, now you got a double team. Well, that frees up Fable to now have some one-on-ones. Well, now Fable should be eating in there. You got the big dude Fisk or whatever it is who – also come in very highly touted. They got him as the best on the defensive line. Cool. Mm-hmm. He should be able to come in. You got some depth and backup with Jared Jackson, who should be able to come in so you don't have that drop off when he
left. Now, Jared left to go to Michigan State.
Did he really? I missed that.
Yeah, he went to Michigan State. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Listen, I ain't on social media. I don't know. I'm assuming. But what I'm saying is they do have some pieces. They do have pieces that should allow them to be at an elite level when it comes to that defensive line. And in my opinion, the defensive line and the back half of the defense was exactly where that's where the problems were. You know what I mean? That's where I saw the problems being. And so if you tell me those guys can absolutely be improved and they will make better, they'll make more plays against the good teams. The reason why Florida was in that game was because Jared Verse couldn't make no plays. Fable couldn't make no plays. Those guys got blocked all game long. Like,
yeah, they got blocked. Yeah. So that's my whole point.
So if those guys are better.
But that's my point, though. But that's my point. I'm not knocking them. I'm not saying they can't win the ACC. I think they can win the ACC with it. And I think that's why my bigger point of why you have to recruit better. Because, I think you can go get you a quality start out of the portal, right? But I think if you're talking about getting guys that's going to consistently blow shit up. I mean, they went and got the kid Edmund from South Carolina, right? The defensive end. Edmund had 2 sacks last year, you know? Edmund had 15 tackles. I'm sorry. He had 39 tackles, okay?
Yeah, but Johnny Wilson had 2 catches or whatever it was before he got there, and he was our best receiver. Sometimes the scheme that we signed up for is not the best scheme that we should be in. I think Jaheim Bell, like you said, will flourish in the system, and his numbers
you come to Florida State, and you have an opportunity to play. Right, you have it wasn't a lot of talent here, so you get an opportunity to come in and play, and you get a chance to make plays. Right, and I'm not knocking it; I'm saying that's great, and I'm glad they did it. But my point is, okay, how does this translate into beating good teams, teams that can legitimately win something? Right, and I think that's where the quarterback comes in. Right, and I think that is where Jordan Travis comes in, because I think Jordan Travis was a real difference maker against the big teams. Well, against the really good, other than Clemson. I think Clemson had something for him that night.
But to me,
Florida, Oklahoma, LSU game, he was the difference in winning those games, and I think he can still be that difference. But they're going to need that defense to play better. They're going to have to be better in the red zone, right? Against the good teams. We're talking about specifically the good teams, which on this schedule, it's only 2, right? It's only two. So, we having this bigger conversation, but it's only 2 teams we're talking about right now, unless Miami show to be something else, right? Which I don't think they are going to show that, right? I think they're still a year away from being a decent team. I mean, but they could surprise us, of course.
I think we know enough to know that they're probably going to be pretty bad this next season.
Right, but I'm saying, I mean, ideally, if Miami does get the coordinator situation right with the offensive coordinator, and I do think Mario's recruiting well, so he's going to have talent there. Can he put it all together this year? I don't think they can.
But that's what you're saying. Even if that talent ain't going to be there until, next year or the year after. Yeah.
Right. So my whole thing would be, but you do play them late, which actually that's a game. If I could have switched it, I would have had that game earlier. I would have wanted that game like closer to like October. But it don't matter.
I was going to say, here's the thing, though. Miami, if the goals are gone by week six, Miami becomes a completely different team. It could be one of two things, right? It could be Miami has won, is 7-1 or whatever it is, and now you catching them, and now they got all the momentum in the world, and they could have had three losses by then, and now they just going through the motions, and they'll roll over like they did last year again. Florida State was not Florida State, in my opinion, was not even close to being the team they are this season against a Miami team that I thought was better last season than they are this season. It's hard for me to pick Miami, RC, but I do. And they got beat 45-3. So it's difficult for me to
I'm going to talk about this on another pod. I'm going to talk about this on another pod, but I actually expect Texas A&M and Miami to make some big jumps because if they can stay healthy, because both of those teams was brutalized by injuries on the line of scrimmage last year because they were so young. So
who's calling plays and will they?
Okay. All right, man.
And who's that quarterback?
I get that point, but my whole thing is those are two teams I do expect to make jumps. I just don't know how big those jumps can be. They both missed
Texas A&M has been recruiting at a top three level for the last. I agree with you on Texas A&M. It's hard for me to believe Miami gonna take a jump.
Well, I don't think Miami's gonna be great, but I'm saying I expect a jump for them because if they can stay healthy and they recruited really good on the line of scrimmage. I mean, I think they can get I think they was at 5 last year. I think they can get to 7. Maybe 8.
Oh, okay. Well, then, I think they're
not sending a winner that's championship. I mean,
that's why I say it. I was like, wait a minute, you expect them to be good. If you're saying they're going from 5 to making a bowl game, yeah, I agree with that. I think they're making
a bowl game. We can have this conversation, a bigger conversation about the Big Three. I mean, dude, the Big Three in Florida is trash. I mean, I'm not saying they trash compared to. You know, they can never be good again, but recruiting, what the Big Three been the last 10 years? I mean, it's been bad. It's been bad. No team can keep momentum.
We can't keep our elite guys. Florida has never had a problem. The state of Florida, I don't mean the Gator. The state of Florida has never had a problem of keeping their elite players here in Florida. Either they were going to Florida, Miami, or Florida State. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Yeah.
On occasion, Miami, Alabama, or Georgia would grab one. Or Ohio State, Michigan. I remember when Harbaugh first got there, he was coming down and he would grab a guy every now and then. But it was very rare. And Urban Meyer could come here because he had the Florida ties, and he could come here and steal a guy here and there when he was up at Ohio State. But for the most part, Florida has, as a state, has kept their elite guys here. At this point, we picking like 5th or 6th. Behind Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, and USC. And I'm like, when did we get here? You know what I mean? When did we get to a place where we can't keep – that's what I mean. Like, I ain't talking Florida State. I mean, when did we, as a Big Three, get to the place where we can't keep any of our elite guys in state? I don't understand it. And Mario Cristobal is supposed to be a good recruiter, and he can't keep them guys there. I don't think Billy Napier is shit. So I don't expect him to. And Mike Norvell hadn't shown the ability to do it either. Who is the coach, or what is it going to take to get the Florida guys back in Florida? I'm looking at a running back out of Oak Leaf who I said should come to Florida State, who I said was a fan of Florida State, and I don't know why we're not recruiting him, but apparently he got Georgia as an offer.
Right.
Oak Leaf is in our backyard. You know what I mean? Like, I keep saying, I've been on this kid. I've coached him when he was in middle school. I've seen this guy play. I keep saying he's going to be the truth. And I kept saying Florida State gonna be in on that. They over that, and nobody's went and talked to them. This is the second player from that specific school because I know that school that has gone on. That wide receiver went to Utah.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, dog, what are we doing when we're letting good wide receivers, good DBs, good running backs, good defensive linemen all throughout the state of Florida go to Utah's and Georgia's and Alabama's. And
I mean, think about it.
We have to fix that.
I tell you what's funny, dude. We got to need that linebacker, right? We recruited the linebacker from that was committed North Texas from Texas, right? South Carolina got a 4-star linebacker, Grayson Howard, that went to school at Jackson. He's like their fourth best player in their class. You know what I'm saying? So
and this is what I'm talking about. Now he'll be a Florida State. He'll be a Seminole in a couple years.
I mean, we're gonna pray and hope that it happens. But if that's your recruiting strategy, it's not much of a strategy. So I think the big three are, like I said, Florida State got to find a way to be consistent, right? You got to keep consistently stacking 10-win seasons, right? I do think if Miami, I think Mario Cristobal is going to recruit well there as long as he's there, right? I don't think his class will ever fall below 10. I mean, he just brought in a number 7 class. He brought a number 7 class after that shit show last year.
Yeah, well, proof of concept.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even finna get in a debate with people about that. That's just damn good recruiting, in my opinion. I don't care if he paid for every kid on the damn class. I don't give a shit. That's good recruiting. You do that.
If we know these are the rules, then play by those rules. When you play Uno, we call it at the beginning, we stack it. If we are playing, if that's the rules, we all stack. I can't say I ain't gonna stack because I don't believe in that. No, I'm gonna have to stack my cards because this is the way that I'm gonna be able to win the game. I don't believe in stacking, but it don't matter. So if Miami is paying everybody with a billionaire, then Florida State has some billionaires that they know. You need to call up that dude. Hey, dog, we need you to start just paying these dudes so we can have the top. Like, if those are the rules, the only coach who I've seen who can say, I ain't paying these dudes, get the fuck out of my face, Nick Saban. Nick Saban's the only one, and that was an article about it. It was that surprising that Nick Saban was like, I'm not paying you this. Fuck you. I'll find another you. Like, I don't believe him. I got used lined up down the block. We don't need you. Peace. I'll find somebody to play for free. Which is also amazing as hell that Nick Saban can find people to still play for free. Nick Saban's a cheat code. I don't think we talk about it enough.
But. Yeah, he's also lying. But anyway.
He ain't pay him? You think he lying? Hold on. Now we can't just throw that out there and let him
move on. He's lying. He's lying. Everybody knows he's lying. He's lying. He's clearly lying.
He said he ain't paid them kids. That's what my
He just brought a number one recruiting class.
He paid a lot of kids.
That's one of the top three classes ever recruited in college football history.
Yeah,
he in paid the NIL era.
Yeah, he did. He paid.
He's
a lot
lying.
Of kids.
He's lying.
But he didn't pay them two. He didn't pay those.
He
two.
Didn't. That's he probably what, didn't pay
right.
those.
Call the Spanx lady. Right. Yeah. What? That's what I was hitting at. I didn't want to give. You know what I mean? I didn't want to just identify. I was just saying we have a billionaire too who got some money. Call the Spanx lady. Hey. We need to start cheating with everybody else. We need to get in the game with everybody else. They got Ruiz down there who's just throwing money at kids. Throw some money.
But
I don't know what the return on investment is, but whatever.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I think if Miami and Florida become, I think to keep kids in Florida, I think these teams in Florida have to start playing for something and they have to mean something when they play each other. Right, like you need Miami to be in the hunt for the ACC championship when you play. Like both teams need to be in it for the ACC championship when Florida State plays Miami. Florida need to be in the hunt to lose something when they play Florida State. These games have to start meaning. It can't be 5-7 Florida State playing 9-3 Florida, 6-6 Miami playing 9-3 Florida State, and these games have to start meaning, because I think that's why the recruiting was so well back then, because any team that won that game was on their way to the national championship. Like if Florida State beat Miami and they beat Florida, they was on their way to the national championship, right? And that was
Florida
like
did it.
It was a reason to come.
Miami did it.
Florida was on their way. Miami was on their way. So those games started. They meant so much that everybody watched the games. Right? They was on a prime time at 3:30. Everybody sat down. Florida State played. They got 25 NFL players on the field at one time, 22 at one time, 18 players in NFL at one time. So, you know, I think that's what's hurting the recruiting. you know, it's tough with Norvell. I don't think he's ever gonna be a dynamic recruiter like that. I think we got more than enough evidence to show that. I think he do got to become a top 10 recruiter though. I think this program have to recruit high school players at a top 10 level. Is he ever gonna be a top 5 type recruiter? I don't think there's ever really.
Let me ask you.
I don't think so.
In the event that Mike Norvell fails, right, would that be the reason? Is because he's not a top 10 or a top 5 recruiter?
You know, I think because
here's the thing. At some point, Florida State will need to win a championship. Like, we can say everything. We can like Mike. We can feel like Mike is the greatest thing since sliced bread or whatever, right? But if Mike keeps bumping his head on that ceiling, Florida State is not going to continue to allow, again, like you said, 12 teams. That means Florida State should be in the playoffs. Florida State's not going to be able to go to the playoffs every year and get beat by Georgia because they got better talent. Florida State is not going to be able to go up to the playoffs every year, make it to the Final Four, and then get beat by Ohio State or get beat by Alabama or get beat by USC because they recruit better. If that becomes the thing where Florida State is constantly in it, they're in it. Every year, you know they're going to be in it. I think it's going to be very, very difficult for anybody to look at Mike and say, Mike, we love you. Well, we appreciate everything done here, but we need a coach who's going to take us over the top.
All right, but I think having a 12-team playoff, in my opinion, is going to kind of stop this huge coaching carousel every year. Because I think if you got 12 teams constantly, if you got 12 teams making the playoffs, you're not firing a coach that's going to making the playoffs 2 out of 4 years. I mean, you're not going to fire that guy.
Good teams do. Good teams will. Georgia was in the SEC championship games and was in the championship game, and they was like, we appreciate you, Mark, but we need somebody to take us over the hump.
It took Georgia damn near 15 years to get rid of Mark Richt because he would find his way in the SEC championship game, and you can't fire a coach just winning 10 games. I mean, you just can't. You can't. How do you justify that?
Easy.
We
appreciate everything you've done. You've raised our floor. You've brought in a sense of stability when we needed you. We appreciate everything you got going on. Unfortunately, we would like to win the championship. I don't believe Florida State is going. It's not going. 15. Florida State is not going to wait 15 years to fire. Georgia hadn't seen the championship since the 70s before they've now won these. So it was a long time. They had a different expectation. Florida State ain't going to sit around 15 years and let Mike continue to make the playoffs and New Year's Six bowls and not have a championship in there. It's just not possible. They probably have, I give it four playoff makes with four potentials. They go out there and get beat in the playoffs to a more talented Alabama team. Then they go out there and they get beat in the playoffs by a more talented Ohio State team. Are they in the championship game? They lose badly to a Georgia team or whatever. At some point, we can look at it and say, listen, Mike, you've done an amazing job. We appreciate what you've done here, but it's just we got to get – now, here's the thing. I actually think Florida State will win a championship in a couple of years. I can see there's a possibility you can catch everybody at the right time. You can put together the right pieces, portal it the right way, and maybe some luck happens. 12 teams – it's not gonna get upset. You get what I'm saying? Like you can end up with playing. You can end up playing a TCU in the championship when you expect to play a TCU in the championship, and now you got an opponent that you should dog walk. You know what I mean? Like so, yeah. I think a lot of stuff that happens is luck. I think Michigan would have gave Georgia a better game.
Yeah.
But Michigan got upset. You know what I mean? So I think I look at this and I say, there's a lot of luck that goes into winning championships. I think Florida State could possibly luck into it. So I don't think he'll be here. But I look around and I say, it's very well possible that, you know, Mike can keep bumping his head on that ceiling just because he has not recruited at a level that can get him over the top.
I think if you make it a playoff 3 out of 4 years, 2 out of 4 years, as an administrator, I'm not firing that coach. I mean, I've just died.
The goal is a championship. I'm not doing that, man. Like, the goals are a championship. If you cannot get us there, I appreciate everything you got, but I cannot continue. Like, you can look at it, right? You can project based on how your team is going to be. You can project based on how they've recruited and what's happening in the portal. So if I look in, if they got the number 8 portal class and the number 17 recruiting class, That team is not going to get you a championship. And I can say that real confidently. You know what I mean? That you do not have enough talent if you're telling me Georgia's bringing in the number one class in back-to-back years. That means they got a whole bunch of elite guys. Now, if Mike going to still bring in the number one and number two portal class and be around the 10 to 12 range of recruiting class, I feel different. Because I think that can win a championship. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he's in a, I got to do enough on this portal and I got to do enough in this recruiting to where I might be able to compete with some of these. Now, here's the thing. Even with, I believe, Florida State going 11-1 or 12-0, I don't believe Florida State can win a championship. Unless some luck happens. A TCU or somebody else upset somebody else. Now you end up in a championship game with, you know, a team you ain't got no business. Who knows, right? But I don't believe Florida State is equipped to beat a Georgia. I don't think you want to see any parts of Alabama.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, unless they drastically get better, and I'm not talking about better far as what you do in the ACC, I'm talking about, like, you're going to need some guys, three NFL guys on your offensive line. You're going to need three NFL guys on your defensive line, right?
Right.
I mean, you need that type of...
Fabo, Fisk, and Verse are going to have to be elite.
Third round
not
type
against
picks.
Boston College. Yeah, not against Boston College, but against Florida's and against Miami.
I mean, if you think about it,
maybe not Miami, but against LSU and against Clemson, that's where they're going to have to be elite. And that's what Florida State did. That's when Florida State was good. That's what they did. Mm-hmm. They dominated Clemson. They absolutely, their NFL guys, they took over games and they embarrassed them. Jalen Ramsey, you talk about one of the greatest games you've ever seen played. That was a difference maker. He made all the plays in that game that was needed to be made to win the game. We've seen LaMarcus Joyner do it. LaMarcus Joyner's done it. Hell, we've seen defense in Jacksonville.
DeMarcus Walker.
We've seen DeMarcus Walker take over games. We've seen DeMarcus Walker take over games. You will, against good teams, you will need Jared Verse and Fabo and Fisk to do that against good teams this year if they want to win, if they believe they can win the championship. And if they do, I'm going to come on here and say, like, if they go out there at LSU and they dominate LSU's offensive line, Fisk get a sack. But he's disruptive. Fabo is disruptive. They don't shut down the whole running game. They're not one dimensional. Verse ends up with 2.5 sacks. The defensive line is just wreaking havoc all game. They can't be blocked. Oh, I'm gonna come in here and say, let's win the championship. Let's stop talking about it. Let's go win the championship.
Right.
But if they go out there and they struggle and I don't see it, then it's gonna change my opinion a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, as good as Tim Jernigan was, Tim Jernigan was fucking great here. I mean, Tim Jernigan was a second round pick.
He's a second round absolute monster. It was to the point where you could be like, wait, who's running up the middle? Oh, Tim Jernigan on the bench. Nobody ran. Yeah. It didn't matter who it was. That championship game, when he went to the bench because he had to rest, that was when they got yards. Tim Jernigan was an absolute problem. Hey, and that's what you need. That's what you need Fabo to be. Fabo and Fisk have to be Tim and Jernigan. If you really want to talk about like a legit shot at winning the championship, that's what we got
to do. So, I mean, like I said, I think they're in a good position this year to win the ACC championship. 100%. And for me, that's the goal. If they win the ACC championship, mission complete for me. Great season.
That's not the goal. That's your goal. That's not the team goal.
I have realistic expectations. I've always been this way. Right,
but
I said last year.
Okay, so now that leads me to, why don't you believe a championship is a realistic expectation?
Man, tell you something, man. There's some really good players out there in college football. You know, and those guys are concentrated on 3 to 4 teams, right? If Alabama puts it all together next year, which that's a big if, right? They breaking in a new quarterback, got a new offensive coordinator, they got to break some things in. They put it all together next year with that talent on that team. Gonna be pretty hard to beat, right? If you meet them in the playoffs, it's a chance you get skull fucked, right? If Georgia was young last year, everybody said it. Georgia had lost 10 guys to the NFL, including the number one overall pick in Trayvon Walker.
They came out
this year, they dominated everybody, okay? They come back with a lot of players, right? I mean, Kirby was making room. Yeah. That's why those players left. He was making room. He was trying to make room
Georgia's going to be a problem again this year. Yeah.
Okay, so if you meet them in the playoffs, they're going to block Fable, right? I mean, we watch
what Florida did. They may block Fable. Fable may be Jernigan.
So we don't know. Okay, yeah, then that's a great if, but we know what's going to happen. They're going to block them, right? So the game going to be played on the edges. So I'm just saying, you just look at it and be like, if these type teams put it all together, now they may not do that. They may not do that. If that defense runs up against Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you may not outscore them. Awesome. You know what I'm saying? They put it all together. I'm just saying these are teams that got elite talent. That if they put it all together, you got a problem. You know what I'm saying? You may not be able to score enough with those teams. You may not be able to get enough stops with those teams. So, to me, you can win the ACC. I really do believe that. I think the goal should be to win the ACC. I mean, as a competitor, the players, of course, they should think they're going to win every game and they're going to compete in the national championship and play, and win a national championship. They win a national championship, I raised my hand. I said, man, that's a great-ass job. That's a hell of a job coaching, hell of a job evaluating. Excellent. I just do think it's levels to it, right? I do think it's levels when you play Ohio State and those wide receivers with a number one – Marvin Harrison Jr. could possibly be a number one overall pick. That's how good he is, right? Like, that guy's hard to stop.
He's going to give some problems. Piper's going to have to be on his game.
I really don't care who you put up against him, what transfer you brought in to put on him. He's going to probably go to work on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was
maybe
torching Georgia before he got hurt. He was torching.
We got an elite DB. Our portal grabbed an elite DB.
And I think the UVA guy's a good player. I'm just saying. It's levels. You know what I'm saying? It's like when we was having a conversation about the three defensive ends last year with Kayvon Thibodeau, Walker, Jermaine Johnson, Aiden Hutchinson. Go look at those stats from this year. You know, Jermaine was a good player, but he wasn't Hutchinson. He wasn't Walker. He wasn't Thibodeau. He's a good player. You know what I'm saying?
He was not.
Just saying.
Any of those people.
Huh? Yeah, he was.
But he was a good player. I can't deny it. He was not.
Yeah, but he was a good player. I'm not knocking him, but you do see, that's why Aiden Hutchinson's Aiden Hutchinson. Like, that's why Trayvon Walker is Trayvon. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see it once the level of competition step. You're like, and our guys playing special teams a little bit, some third downs every now and then, but it's levels to it. It's just levels, right? But being a good college player, you can still be great in college, but you do see the step up. Like the Quentin Johnson kid from TCU, and I think the Quentin Johnson kid from TCU is pretty good. Played against Georgia, they shut that shit down. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. Marvin Jones Jr., he could have shut Marvin Jones Jr. down. But they could have shut Marvin Jones Jr. down, though, right? So you see that there's levels to it. Like, okay, the Marvin Jones Jr. kid is probably better than the TCU kid. And he's a year behind.
Ain't no problem about it. Yeah, ain't no problem about it.
Right. So, I mean, you start comparing these things. Like, okay, now I see why this guy's so great. Okay, now I see why that guy's not that great. You know what I'm saying? You start realizing it. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't see – it's nothing wrong with it. You know, it don't take away from that player being a good player in his conference or whatnot. But, you know, to me, I think Florida State got top 10 type talent. You got top 10 type talent, you should win your conference. If you run up against a Michigan, do I think Florida State could beat a Michigan on a neutral field? I think that's possible. I think you could punch for punch with Michigan, right? They haven't recruited that way the last 2 years. You could probably punch with Michigan, you know?
100%, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think USC will be more difficult. I think Georgia would be almost impossible.
Yeah. I mean, Bama, that'd be tough, right?
One of them almost impossible.
You get Nick Saban 3 weeks prepare for Mike Norvell's offense, it's a chance he could shut the run game down with his linebackers and defensive linemen because he have a hard time against passing games, right?
Mm-hmm. He also has a hard time against mobile quarterbacks.
Right, but Bama, if you're trying to tell them all they got to do is stop counter Trey, I mean, you get them enough time, they could wrap that enough where they could put an end to that shit pretty quick. You know what I'm saying? They could do that. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Trey Benson don't run well against sound defenses. I mean, he does okay, but he don't, you know, Ward was kind of better against sound defenses.
He hasn't run well against sound defense. Don't mean he can't.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why I said, that's why I like the Ward so much.
I'm going to improve a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
I expect Benson to be bigger, stronger, faster this year, the same way I expect Toa Fili to be bigger, stronger, and faster this year.
But that's more of a wiggle thing, though. A Ward, he could set blocks up and kind of wiggle a little bit where it ain't got to be blocked up perfect for him. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, even with people's like, oh, well, Ward wasn't going to find playing time, I get why they were saying that, but I think Ward was the better running back out of all those guys. I think you could put him against any team in the country and he could run, get yards.
You know? Ward was not the better running back. Ward was the more polished running back. Like you said, Ward didn't have very many deficiencies to win. Like Benson had a game where he just missed the hole. He missed holes. He ran timid. He wasn't sure of himself. Right now, towards the end of the season, he didn't have none of those. But like Ward didn't, again, Ward against Oklahoma showed that Ward was a better running back than Benson. Like in that game, as good as Benson, like, you know, plays, Ward was the difference maker. He just looked at the game differently. He saw the game differently. And I think losing Ward does hurt. But I think the reason why Ward left is Trey Benson is the man now. Cool. Yeah, I respect it. Tip my hat. Yeah. Go, you know what I mean? Go be the man. And they're gonna ask Benson to do some of those things that Ward did. And he's gonna have to be able to produce. And I don't, you know, again, I believe he can. Benson has home run speed. And that was a big difference. I just think it's a big difference with the speed and the physicality that Benson runs with. So I understood why the coaches made the decision. But I agree. Yeah. I don't think Ward is a better running back. I think Ward is just a little bit smarter. He's a little bit smarter. He has better vision, a little bit better footwork. But I think you can look at Benson and say Benson is an NFL player and it's probably going to be a better NFL player, NFL prospect. So I can understand why they made that decision.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, man, it's a good conversation, man. We'll try to get back on here. Man, I don't know. I got a guess.
I was going to say, I don't want to make promises because it depends on what's happening. You know, it depends on what happened, how to get.
But I do got a guess. So I got my guests lined up. So they told me they can go whenever. So I do, you know, come back. We'll do one with the guests. Yeah. And I'm going to try to line up. I want to do 10 guests for the off season. You know, so that way it's not, I'm not going to create fake hype. You know,
we don't. You know. We don't do it, and nobody's paying us to come out here and just talk to y'all about Florida State, even though ain't nothing going on. And since nobody from the team, like again, if somebody want to pay us to talk Florida State every day, then by all means, you know, I'll drop the Cash App, and y'all can pay us, and we'll come on here and just do a pod just for you. You know what I mean? Just for y'all, and we'll make up some storylines like some of y'all other people. But there's nothing going on. There's literally nothing going on with the program.
I did get hit up by a pretty interesting sponsor, so if that falls through, then I'll let you guys know, and that's something you guys can support. But you know, it's gonna be the right thing. But yeah, man, that was a great show.
Yeah, absolutely, fun times. Shout out to everybody, man, who came in live, everybody who listened live. We appreciate it as always, man. Again, keep telling, man. Listen, there's no reason we can't hit 2,000. We was able to hit 1,000. We can definitely hit 2,000. There's plenty of fans here, man. So keep telling folks. Let's keep growing this thing, man. And like always, man, we appreciate y'all. And this is the Listen Up Podcast. Sam, you got anything else, man?
Nope. We out.